they tell the others, don't rebel against the Lord. Don't fear these people. Don't fear these sins that have ruled you for so long. They will be our prey. It's like they're going to be like the animals we capture. We're going to capture them. Their protection has been removed from them. The devil was defeated on the cross. Don't act as if the devil is still victor. When you live a defeated life, you're proclaiming by your life, Satan is victor. I tell you, he's not the victor. Jesus is victor. I don't care what you say with your mouth. What is your life proclaiming? What is your family life proclaiming? Satan is victor in my home. Satan is victor in my life. Satan is victor in my thought life. It doesn't matter than what you say with your lips. Satan sits back and laughs. Ha ha. These fellows can say what they like with their lips. They can sing such beautiful songs. But their life is testifying something else, and all my fellow demons, Satan says, can see it. All my fellow demons can see it every day, that their life is proclaiming something completely different from what they sing on Sunday morning. Dear brothers and sisters, how many of you will rise to the challenge that Joshua and Caleb gives? It says, the Lord is with us. It says, don't be afraid. Their protection, verse 9, has been removed from them. And the Lord is with us, I will not be afraid. In one translation it says, they are like bread. We're going to eat them. They are our food. And that's really true. They are like our food. Like, let me repeat that story. The parable that I've heard before, and some of you probably heard me say it, but for those of you who haven't heard it, there was this ugly-looking lizard or iguana, one of these big lizards, sitting on a man's shoulder. It's a picture of sin that had conquered his life. And an angel comes to him and says, get rid of that, get rid of that. And that iguana lizard says, no, don't get rid of me. You know, you and I have been friends for years. I'll behave myself. And so he says, okay. And he argues with this angel, allows this sin to remain. And then finally he gets fed up. And he says, okay, you do it. And the angel pulls out that iguana lizard and throws it on the ground. And suddenly it becomes a horse. And the angel tells this man, now you don't have to walk anymore to the promised land. You can gallop on this horse. This sin that ruled your life is what slowed you down throughout your life. If you conquer it and put it down, it becomes a horse on which you can run, go full speed into God's kingdom. I've never forgotten that parable. Every sin I conquer is something that I can ride on and go fast into God's kingdom. Remember that, brothers and sisters, and don't listen to the devil when he says, keep me, I'll behave myself. He'll never behave himself. It's here to ruin your life. And it says, when you hear such a wonderful message of victory, one would think all of Christendom should rise up to and says, yes, this is what's written throughout the Bible. It says in Romans 6:14, sin will not have dominion over you. It says in Romans 8:37, we are more than conquerors, not just conquerors. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. It says in 2 Corinthians 2:14, thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4 verses 1 to 4, I know nothing against myself. My conscience is absolutely clear. Paul says in Acts 24:16, this is my testimony. I live with a perfectly good conscience every single day, all the time, 24/7. What a life, example of these men. Paul, John says at the age of 95, in 1 John 5:3, God's commands are not a burden. There's not a single command of God, John says at the age of 95, that I found to be a burden in the last 65 years since I was filled with the Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Can you give that testimony? Even for 1 year, leave alone 65 years. There's a Chinese proverb that says, The journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. And then another step. You don't have to walk 1,000 miles. Just one step. One step. Continue, continue. And you will reach the end of the 1,000 miles. God's got a plan for your life. It was planned before you were born. It was planned before I was born. And all of us have messed up that plan for many, many years. You and I. I know I have. I've been a backslider in my life too. And I repented and wept and cried out to God for years till God one day filled me with the Holy Spirit and turned me right around. I had my day of Pentecost and continuing infilling with the Spirit. You cannot do it without it. It is impossible. Don't even attempt it, and don't go for these fake, counterfeit Spirit's fullness found in a lot of Pentecostal churches. Go for the real thing that the apostles got on the day of Pentecost, where Jesus said, "You shall receive power." Not tongues. Power. I wanted power. I was thoroughly defeated in my life, more than all of you. But I said, "Lord, I want power." I was at rock bottom when God met with me, filled me with the Spirit, and I'll tell you why. If I were to draw a graph of my life, from the time I was born again, I was really wholehearted. And it was climbing, climbing. I was really wonderfully, according to the light I had, till a day came in my life, I said, "Lord, I give up the ambition I had in my life to go to the top of my profession. And I chuck it because you called me to leave it and serve you." And I continued like that. But the one thing I lacked, or a couple of things I lacked, I did not have a spiritual father. I did not have a spiritual mentor to challenge me to a life of victory. I never heard a preacher preach saying, "Sin will not have dominion over you. Come on, be an overcomer." I never heard that. So I was defeated. And the second thing I didn't have was fellowship. I never saw a church which functioned like a body of Christ, where people loved the Lord and loved one another and functioned together as a body. You know, it makes a tremendous difference when you have a body. Because if this hand is paralyzed, there's another hand that comes to help. And if any part of this body is injured, when you're part of a body, it functions and helps and restores it, can massage it and bring it back to life. But imagine if this hand is all by itself and it's dead. It just lies there dead forever. I didn't have a body. I didn't have a spiritual father. And it's the years of my defeated. Then my graph started going down. And once you're discouraged, you get more and more defeated. When you're discouraged, you condemn yourself. "Oh, I'm preaching so many things, it's not true." I finally got so fed up with my life way back nearly 50 years ago. I said, "Lord, I'm not going to preach anymore because I'm a first-class hypocrite. I'm preaching and singing things which are not true in my life. I don't want to fool anybody anymore, sitting up there in front or standing up in front and acting like a holy man when I'm not. I won't give up being a Christian. I love Jesus. I know He died for me. I know He's the only way of salvation. But I'll sit at the back of some church and never preach again." I really said that to the Lord. "Unless, Lord, You do something for me. Only one thing. I don't want the gift of healing or even preaching, nothing. Make my inner life correspond with what I'm singing and saying. That's all. I don't ask for anything else. Make my inner life correspond with what I'm saying, I believe, with my testimony, with the songs I sing. That's all I ask You, Lord." And I was at rock bottom. I prayed like that and nothing seemed to happen. I'll tell you this, sometimes it can be so discouraging when you pray and pray and there doesn't seem to be an answer to it, and you go down and down and down and down and down. And I was at rock bottom in my backsliding. And there, one day, when I least expected it, God met with me and filled me with the Holy Spirit all of a sudden. And began a life in me. Of course, He has a postscript. He also gave me a little finger called the gift of tongues. Only this size. It wasn't 12 feet long like in some churches. A little gift of tongues, that was not the main thing. The main thing is, something began to change in my life. And I said, Lord, if this is the real fullness of the Holy Spirit, when I read the New Testament now, it should become a new book because the Holy Spirit wrote it. I should see things in it that I have not understood or seen in the last 16 years that I've studied it. I'd studied the Bible thoroughly from 1959 to 1975, 16 years. But I believe you'll show me, and I'll tell you this. From that time when God met with me and filled me with the Holy Spirit, and I believe in continuously being filled with the Holy Spirit, not just once for all experience, I have seen some of the most amazing truths in Scripture that I never knew before about overcoming sin, about spiritual maturity, about building the church.